Waddle and Sylvie. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on ESPN Chicago.
Well, yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, he's been out of the game a little bit, but when he was, you know, doing well and playing, he definitely was a weapon. So it'll be curious to see how he does. I have no idea. Again, for me, you know, I wish him the best and all that, and you always root good for people. But for where I'm at right now personally, we're so focused in on the Rams.
Here we are back again wondering who's going to be the next quarterback. Could Mitch ever turn it around?
Well, that's the right answer for the coach. I mean, this is a decision or a conversation for the front office.
Right.
Not for the coach. The coach's got to get ready for the Rams.
All we were saying is that he would know what the team's... I would hope he would have an impact on
my assumption is I don't know this for fact, but my assumption is their offices in Hallis are pretty close. And the phones work. So my guess is this is a conversation that's probably, what is today, Wednesday?
Right. I would hope that he would have input in it. Yeah. John Buckner reacts. And this is what I'm saying. I don't disagree with John's saying. John says he hasn't played for 3 years and he sucked when he did. Do you not remember his last game at Soldier Field? He was horrendous and he had zero interest in playing in the cold. I don't want the Kaepernick at the end of his career. But maybe he's not that anymore. Maybe he's worked. I don't know. I'm just saying if you're the Bears and you're this desperate, you need to be there. You need to do your homework. And if he does wow you, then you need to sign him now to be on your roster. Like, why should Adam Shaheen take up a roster spot when he's got no future on the team? Like, if Colin Kaepernick at the workout shows you that he stinks and that he's slight and he hasn't been working on his game and he has a bad pro day workout like you would see any other quarterback. And you put your pencil behind your ear again, you go, no, sorry. And that's how you deem the scouting report. I'm not telling you to sign Colin Kaepernick. Absolutely not. If your scouting eyes tell you that he's not good, that he's rusty and that he's not good, then walk away. But be there. And if by chance he is good, be ready to get creative.
Yeah, I just don't know how he's going to impress or not impress somebody in this workout. I don't know who's he throwing to. How is it set up? I mean, what's going to go on? I think if you sign Colin Kaepernick, it's for the long term. So you're coming in and there's certain things you can glean from this workout. But what else? What are you going to? How do you watch him throw to non-NFL receivers and come away mesmerized or thrilled with what you've seen? And conversely, how do you come away? Like, if he comes in and he's 270 and he's falling down and he's airmailing it and throwing it, then I'm with you 100%. I just don't know what type of long... His resume and physically where he is, if you look at him and you talk to him, that's going to carry so much more weight than watching him throw an out route. That's why, to me... Whether you bring him in now or you bring him whenever, you're not going to fully be able to evaluate him until you get him into your system in the offseason and see what he has. You're not going to be able to determine what a 32-year-old guy who hasn't played for 3 years throwing to high school or junior college right. kids is going to do. You're not going to be able to make any long-term assessment.
Well, it's funny because remember we were watching the Johnny Manziel workout years ago. We were on the air. We were doing like play-by-play of it live. Do you remember he was wearing the helmet to make it more like? Was he wearing pads and a helmet? Like none of it mattered. I get that. I know it's very hard to tell.
That's why I'm saying to whoever, if you want to bring Cap in, the best thing for you to do is have him come to your building and you dictate what you want him to do so you can see what he does in conjunction to what you're trying to accomplish as a football team. And then you take a long-term approach with, we're going to get you into this system, you're going to be part of the organization, and you're just going to be one of 53 guys as we go through, and you're going to be competing for a job. I'm perplexed on a number of fronts. If you were interested in Cap, you should have called his agent. Why'd you call the league? Because you wanted a little bit of cover? You didn't want to be the first one to go out there and say, hey, we're bringing in Colin Kaepernick. Why? Because you didn't want the blowback from your fan base?
Right. I'll answer it for the Bears. Why, if you're the Bears, would you not have called? Because all of a sudden now you've come to the self-realization that you need a quarterback. Before you didn't know. And now you've gotten hit with a right hook telling you that, oh boy, and like you have said, you don't have a lot of cash and you don't have a lot of draft capital to find that guy. So why not find a guy who could possibly fill that, who's on the street right now and doesn't cost you anything draft-wise and may not cost you a lot financially.
If you just realized you have a quarterback issue right now at Hallis Hall, then we've got bigger issues.
Well, I didn't say like yesterday. I'm saying in the last 6 weeks. You've learned. Haven't you learned that in the last six weeks?
My point is when you see it, then you, if you're, it's not just the Bears, whoever you are, call him, call his representative, and bring him in and work him out.
I agree with you, Sylvie. There's no reason the Bears should not be there and have representatives to watch this. But aren't you also, are you concerned about the, it seems like a farce the way it's gone about? Kaepernick's representatives requested that it be moved to either Tuesday or a different Saturday, NFL declined that, which, what is the, I don't understand. It just seems like such an NFL, the NFL is trying a public relations stunt to, in some ways, show people that they are not blackballing Kaepernick.
Right, and they're going halfway.
They're setting him up to fail, though, because he just found out about this, what was it, like 96, he had like 2 hours to accept the offer from the NFL.
That's what I don't get is that the teams are like, hey, where are we at with Cap as a league? I don't know. They settled a lawsuit or they settled a complaint. He's free to do whatever. Eric Reed's been playing safety for the Panthers now for a year and a half. If you were interested, why are you calling Roger Goodell?
Well, it was funny when I was out yesterday and I was going through Twitter and I read this story develop. When I first clicked on it, I thought it was saying that, look, Kaepernick's getting creative. That Kaepernick is not getting anybody to show him interest, and he's been working so hard that he wants to do a pro day for him, and he's inviting everyone. Hey, guys, open invitation this Saturday, my pro day. But it was the exact opposite. It was the NFL putting this together, and him at first not even wanting it on this
day. And I ask why. Why is the NFL doing it? And the initial response is that teams were calling the NFL league office and asking the question, like, you live on a different planet. Where are we at with Cap? So to me, the explanation that makes most sense, however you want to perceive it, is all of the teams wanted the same cover. They didn't want to be distinctive in any way. They didn't want to distinguish themselves from anybody else. They wanted it to be a situation where all 32 teams were going to have to take the good, the bad, or the different response from fan bases, and not the individual team who needs quarterback help and didn't want to go out there on their own and take the initiative. It all feels like weird.
Right. And my whole point on all this, again, I just want to reiterate, was I don't care who it is. Like, whether it was the red flag with Kaepernick's play at the end of his career or a red flag that Alex Smith crushed his leg and has had numerous surgeries. I am so desperate right now at the quarterback position that anybody who could possibly help, and I'm not promising that any of them can help, whether it's Cam, whether it's Alex Smith, whether it's Mariota, whether it's Kaepernick, you better be investigating.
I'm a fan of W's. And I want my team, you can add a piece to the puzzle that makes you a better team, especially in an important position. I don't know why it wouldn't be something any team would pursue.
Bob in Rosemont, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Bobby.
Good afternoon, guys. You know, you guys came up with an issue that I can't possibly capture my angst in the characters that Twitter allows. Sylvie, you've got a quarterback that's erratic, can't throw accurately, and whom you want to stay in the pocket and not run around. And I'm sure impressed the hell out of everybody, including Ryan Pace, at his pro day. And what you want to do to solve that problem is to bring in a quarterback who, in his best days, which were not even something I can even remember, was best on the run and playing outside of the pocket, though toward the end of his career had an erratic throwing problem. If your premise is that heretofore we should not have been concerned about having a competent backup, I fully agree. That certainly has to be addressed, and whomever you're going to be looking at is got to be intended to address that problem. But to bring in someone who hasn't demonstrated any skill level, can't do you any good this season, and while he is here, were he to be here, is going to create so many distractions that I can't possibly determine why you would want to bring that level of distraction into a locker room that's got its own internal problems to deal with. There is a reason why the only team that ever goes out and picks up problem players is the New England Patriots, because they have a locker room and they have a coach and they have an administration that's demonstrated an ability to handle problems like this. The Bears have no such system. Their coach can't handle the problems he already has in a competent manner. And what you want to do is get a little brush fire that's currently going on, and you want to bring in a tanker full of gas.
Yes, I want to consider it. Absolutely. Look, I need to solve this, Bob. I'm not telling you, go right now and pick up the phone and sign Kaepernick. I don't know what he's going to look like. And Waddle brings up a good point. I don't know what this pro day is going to look like or what you can learn. But what I am saying is that, yes, if a guy who is 31 or 32 years old, who's available for no compensation from another team or very minimal compensation on a contract, because you are hamstrung and you have areas that you cannot fill this. You can't go to the top of the draft next year and go get Joe Burrow. That you're going to have to get creative. That here's one that you have to investigate. What's wrong with that?
Well, once again, he's going to provide no benefit this season under the best circumstances. So essentially, there's a publicity stunt that's going on just in scheduling this. And what you're basically saying is that you're going to welcome being enamored with another publicity stunt about a guy who hasn't played. You wouldn't sign any other player who hadn't played in the league for as long as Kaepernick has not played. And the fact of the matter is, any team that signs him is going to be used as a platform, if not intended by him as such, it is going to be a constant distraction for the members of that locker room. And what do we talk about when we talk about the mechanics and the chemistry of a locker room? You try to keep your problems inside, and you don't want to answer questions about guys who are creating problems on the outside. And this guy is a known problem commodity, and you want to bring him in for reasons that make absolutely no sense to
Bob,
me.
If Calvin Johnson said today at his age that I am wanting to come back to football and I'm holding a pro day in Atlanta on Saturday, I would tell you the Bears better be there. So yeah, like you're telling me that I would
That's your comparable.
Calvin Johnson's a Hall of Fame caliber receiver.
At one time Colin Kaepernick led a team to the Super Bowl and could have won if the play calling was better at the goal line.
And the lights didn't go out.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I am looking into all of it. I'm not rebelling against this.
Let me help you out. If Andrew Luck announced tomorrow,
yes,
and the Colts announced that they were releasing him from his contract because they didn't feel he was going to be coming back,
that's a dream come true.
Well, whatever. The point is, if that quarterback with an uncertain future physically, but who could at least contribute to the locker room, to the quarterback room, with some intangible benefits that you might be able to justify. If you told me you were going to go talk to him because of the potential that he could help this backup quarterback problem and potentially take over if need be for Trubisky or justify not giving Trubisky an extension, that I would understand a lot better, because when you start talking about the famous squeeze in the juice,
yes,
there you've got something.
Is the juice worth the squeeze?
On the positive.
Yeah, Bob, good debate.
I don't see any of that.
Thanks for calling, Bob.
There is a certain element, call it whatever you want. Distraction may be the wrong word, but there is going to be a conversation that's not football related that your organization is going to have to participate in.
Let me address that. Let's say you lose to the Rams, right? Are you predicting the Bears to lose to the Rams?
17-16 Rams.
I'm predicting the Bears to lose to the Rams. They're 4-6. They basically have no hope of making the postseason. The circus is already in town. Circus is in town. We've had some circus stuff. Why not get rid of the distraction now? Like, I'm just saying, if you would deem him a possibility for next year, why bring him in this year? Because next year, it's not a circus and it's not a distraction, because you've already handled it in a year where you're sort of retooling already. And in Bob's circumstance, if Andrew Luck right now would say, I'm coming back, and if the Colts would say, okay, we're releasing him and we're letting him sign with any team, I would run, not walk, to sign him, and I'd kick Trubisky out of the building. Like, that wouldn't even be, hey, Andrew Luck, I've got a spot in my meeting room. You're on my roster. I would say, see you later, Mitch. Hello, Andrew. You're my starting quarterback tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's more likely if your scenario and the one I predicted comes into play. I mean, you're 4-6. You've got more issues than just your quarterback. You're probably more equipped to make this decision in the offseason. If someone beats you to the punch, somebody beats you to the punch. But I think and I don't know that it's likely that somebody's going to sign Colin at this point. My guess would be it would be a team that is winning. I don't even know. I mean, maybe somebody wouldn't, but he steps in for a team that is already performing that, I mean, maybe it's Baltimore. Maybe Baltimore is a team that they signed because the offense would fit his skill set.
They already have RG3 there.
But that's right. But I just don't. I mean, I think it's much more likely a team like the Bears would engage in this type of relationship in the offseason as opposed to the middle of the year.
Paul's on 94. Paul, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, boys. So, hey, really quick before I get into Kaepernick. Hey, Waddle, bringing back memories down 2010, Old Man Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Playoffs. I got to say, Sylvie, your man took the yaya, man. He went downtown on me.
Ooh, did
I? I was pitching in that playoff game. I don't know if you remember
Waddle. Waddle could do. He could not, like, he. Talk about not playing a sport for 3 years. Waddle could not play something for 3 years.
Not true.
And he put on a pair of shorts and a T-shirt, and whatever sport it is, go out and play, he would still be good at it.
Not anymore.
Hey, Waddle, the one thing I got to say, I did get him in the next time at bat, but it was fun.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I think we lit up Cap that day because I think he was trying to pitch. But, hey, really, I want to go back to Kaepernick. I think you guys, I think it's just, he's a distraction. How much you want to feel that we need to bring them in. The Bears think they're still in the playoffs. I think they're going to win this weekend, and I think they do feel they're going to win. They don't want any distraction. They feel they can make the playoffs. And if anything, I think they don't even want anything to do with them because I think Kaepernick, it doesn't fit his the system that Nagy wants. He's also not that accurate when he was successful.
He's a career 59%, 59.8% completion percentage quarterback.
Is that good?
Yeah, no, not in today's game, but the game's evolved a little bit. His last year in the league with San Francisco, he played in 12 games. He completed 59% of his passes. He had 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 90.7. I believe the record wasn't very good, but statistically, you know, his stats were... We're good.
Who is it? Wasn't it Thomas Sula? Wasn't it their coach?
Hey, Silver. I would rather have you guys go after Cam, dude.
Yeah, and look, you bring up a lot of the same things than with Newton. I mean, you bring up accuracy issues. You bring up a guy whose best days as an athlete may be done and may not be able to do what made him really, really good at the position. None of them are perfect. The problem with where the Bears are at right now is they can't get Joe Burrow. They can't get Tua. And they have very little cash, like you've documented, Waddle, and they don't have a first-round draft pick at all. So you're going to have to get creative. And every guy I listed, whether it be Alex Smith or Colin Kaepernick or Marcus Mariota or Cam Newton or Andy Dalton, all have warts. That's the problem. You're working with a bunch of guys with warts. There's no real fit here, but you're in a desperate situation. Someone brought up on Twitter a better comp on a guy who did not have a lot of, who was off for a couple of years was Michael Vick. Michael Vick, remember who was in Philadelphia when Michael Vick returned? Wasn't Matt Nagy on that staff?
Yeah, he was.
Matt Nagy, Michael Vick didn't play. Andy Reid was the head coach. And he went to jail for heinous crimes. And they still brought him back. And Matt Nagy, I believe, was the quarterback's coach then. Didn't we just have Michael Vick on when they hired Matt Nagy to talk up Matt Nagy? So, I mean, I'm saying is you better be prepared
this thing,
to be there.
As it is right now, I'd be willing to bet a sizable amount of money, whether it's the right decision or the wrong decision. They've got chaos in their building right now with their quarterback. They've got chaos with several issues. The last thing I expect them to do, I expect them to go to Atlanta and be represented there. I don't believe that this is something they will do at this time. Like I've always said, I think personally to me, I think the best way he can help a team is joining a team in the offseason, learning the system, getting acclimated with the team, developing some sort of rapport with his receivers in the offensive line, and then being part of a training camp leading into the season. But right now, it just seems like it doesn't seem like a very likely situation.
And I don't think he's going to be that good. Like, I don't think Kaepernick's going to come in and, like, light up the NFL again, right? But I don't want to be reading a piece like we read yesterday from Dan Weider.
Where they ignored the situation.
It's like, hey, why the Bears didn't sign Colin Kaepernick? And it's like, well, he just didn't go. Like, you have to just cover your ass. Like, you have to just go and be like, right, we went, we didn't like it, sorry.
Done. Yeah, but don't cover, but don't cover your ass for the sake of not wanting to answer tough questions. Cover your ass because you went and you tried to upgrade the situation. And that's why I'm telling you, going to this circus of an event on Saturday at 3 o'clock, to me, isn't the best way to evaluate the guy. Bring him into your building.
Well, maybe that's the next step.
And ask him to do the things that you need him to do inside your system.
Maybe that's the next step. Maybe a team will be intrigued by what they see, then they bring him in for the personal work.
Well, why didn't you do it to begin with?
I don't know.
Because you wanted the cover of the National Football League, so you didn't have to answer tough questions. Billionaires are constantly faced with tough questions.
You know what, though? The more we talk about this, the more I'm thinking, like, there's no chance any team is signing him.
No, I don't believe
so. Because
either.
I was thinking about, I understand what you're saying, Sylvie, is if you want to sign him, it is better to get him into the building this year so you answer all those questions. But the problem is, those questions are never going to stop.
But
and
the moment he starts, you don't want to answer the questions in late November. The season's underway. You want to answer these questions in March
point,
and April.
If the season has gotten away from you,
that's my point.
You want to address those head on.
But you still don't want to answer the questions.
He is in some ways, and don't take this the wrong way, but he, in terms of being in your building, there's a toxicity to what he brings because there's too much publicity around him. It is never going to go away. I don't care. He could be on your team for 3 years. The moment he's back on the field starting, that's always going to be a question. And then they have to address, how is he going to treat the national anthem going forward?
Right.
And they don't want these questions.
And with George McCaskey already having a divided fan base where no one likes the GM now, the quarterback, or the coach.
That's
and
my
now
point.
You're going to divide the fan base even
you're
more.
You're not bringing him in now. You're just not.
If you wanna, well, no, I know. I'm just,
if you want to pursue this in the offseason, fine, but and go see him if you're really interested. Don't do this dog and pony show and go to Atlanta and pretend like you're interested. Have him in your building and see if you connect with him and he can still do the things that you need him to do inside your own offense.
Okay, 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Waddle's World coming up. Plus, Scott Boras is speaking right now at the general manager's meetings for Major League Baseball. He owns, doesn't own.
He's
the agent that has all these clients who are free agents. It's like seven of the top guys. So Jesse's going to give us reaction, and Chris Bryant could be dealt too. Will Boras address that here and the grievance that they've got working? All that coming up here in the next half hour. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salt.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salts.
Right, John. Waddle's World brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They're Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/finest, member FDIC. Are you going to have enough energy to also express your desire to be irritated at Ryan Pace for not taking Deshaun Watson out to dinner?
It's not just the dinner, it's the private workout,
well,
too.
I know, that's like, what I'm saying. Like, are you going to be able to... We're going to give you a timeout, let you catch your breath, and like at 4 o'clock before we get to Jesse.
Can I tell you though? And I tweeted it out. I wasn't here yesterday. The Dan Weider, Rich Campbell piece was just you want a good example that journalism is alive and well. Like that was a really good piece with lots of great sources, lots of great info.
I would say Waddle's World is also an example of journalism being alive and well.
I've always said that. Yeah, good poop journalism.
Thank you.
But yes, it was fantastic.
And it was.
It just, like, it's so much. It's so frustrating.
Like I said, you need to take a deep breath, catch your breath, and come out. And we got 2.5 more hours of this, man. You can light that candle again.
Hey, we got Coby White, though.
Joining the show today?
No, Coby White, no.
To talk about, yeah.
Yeah, he's...
He was 3 of 21, I think, in his last three-point attempts, wasn't he, prior to that? So it was good to see him get back on track.
He's going to be streaky, yeah. And he's a rookie. He's trying to find his way.
He's like 14 years old, isn't he?
Not quite 14.
LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Georgia are your top four teams. Alabama, 5. Oregon is number 6. Utah's number 7. Minnesota moved up 9 spots to number 8 after their win over number 9, Penn State. Oklahoma's number 10. How in the world is Minnesota behind Oregon and Utah?
Minnesota hasn't played anybody besides Penn State.
I don't give a dump. I don't give a dump. What they're telling you is, and I heard the guys on Get Up talking this morning, is you're okay with a crappy win, a crappy loss that Georgia had to Notre Dame. You can digest that, and you're going to put Georgia ahead of a team in Minnesota that just came off a big win over a top 10 team.
Well, Minnesota will eventually jump all of them if they remain undefeated. And if they don't, they're not going to be in it. That's just the way it's going
to
go.
Minnesota's a dog to Iowa on the road this week.
I don't care.
An undefeated team, if you want them to be that high, Waddle, they shouldn't be a road dog.
If they win at Iowa, they're going to jump up again.
Of course.
And they're going to continue to jump. And they'll have a chance in the Big Ten championship game if they get there.
I'm just saying, based on principle, how do you put a Georgia team with a crappy loss to an average Notre Dame team at 4 and Minnesota, who just beat a top 10 team, how do you put them at 7 behind Utah and Oregon?
If you want to argue that, Waddle, why do you put a Georgia team that lost to South Carolina
ahead of Alabama?
Strength of record, strength of record. I'll remind you that last year...
Clemson lose to Syracuse?
No.
Well,
they don't have a loss.
Not this year. A couple years ago when they were in the playoffs.
With their backup quarterback.
Right. I know, but I'm just saying
that Ohio State lost to Purdue. They also had 3 ranked wins, but that loss to Purdue kept them out of the playoff last year. So
we're in the middle of November at this point, though. You're talking at the end of the year when Clemson gets in because they're the best of a group of options of teams that have 1 losses.
Look, this will work itself out because LSU's going to play Georgia. So if LSU beats Georgia, Georgia's out. If Oregon wins its conference, they may bump up ahead of Alabama. If Alabama loses to a very good Auburn team. Exactly. If LSU loses, then it's not going to change. If Georgia beats LSU, it's not going to change.
Let me ask you a question. Do Oregon and Utah both have a loss, right?
Correct.
Do either of them have a win over a top 10 team? I don't know. A top 10 team the way that Minnesota just got done beating Penn State?
Oregon, a top 10?
Yeah.
A win over a top 10 team? No.
So they've got a loss.
Oregon's best win is over Washington.
How about Utah?
In Washington.
The Utes. So you think I'm being an idiot by asking why Minnesota's behind both of them?
But they
or do
have
you
more...
think I'm an idiot for the sake of being an
no,
idiot?
No, I'm not saying you're an idiot. I'm just saying that the committee believes that Minnesota has had a very favorable schedule except for that one win.
So tell me how Georgia's ahead of Alabama then.
Because they think that they're... wins are better than Alabama's wins.
Bite my backside. There's no chance you can look at the Georgia team and think they're a better overall team than Alabama.
You are preaching to the choir. I'm just telling you what they said yesterday.
This is a giant circle of hypocrisy.
Do this. Who's the eighth team right now? Who's the eighth team? Do this exercise.
Well, if you went to 8,
stop.
Minnesota's
I'm
out too.
I'm not talking to you. Not talking to you, Mr. I know everything about college football.
I host a college football show.
Who's 8th right now?
Penn State. No. Minnesota.
Minnesota's 8?
Yeah.
All right. So would you pay to see Minnesota?
No. Wait a second. Are they number 7 or number 8?
No, Minnesota's 8.
Okay. They got LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia. Alabama's 5. Oregon 6. Utah 7. Minnesota 8.
Would you not want to see Minnesota go up against LSU?
Hell yeah.
Round 1 of the postseason?
Yes.
You want to see who's number 2?
Ohio State.
All right, give me Ohio State and who's
Utah. Seven?
Utah. Give me it.
It's not going to happen until
the raging
because it's not going to happen until the TV deal is up. That's
we're
just
all
the,
yelling, but I don't know
happen.
Who's yelling at who.
Look,
because I'm 4-18 playoff. I just don't know why the hell in Mississippi or Minnesota they're rowing their damn boat as well as they can. They just beat a top 10 team. And I got the Utes in Oregon, who are just a big old, you know, weird offensive fraud.
And then what about Minnesota?
You're yelling for no good reason. If Minnesota keeps winning, they'll keep moving up.
What about
if
Baylor?
I know they will, but why do I get that?
Baylor's in the same situation.
I'm good, good Christmas presents, but why are they not in front Baylor's of those two teams
Baylor's
now?
Baylor's in the same situation. They ain't beat anybody yet. They face Oklahoma this weekend. If
who
they
did?
Beat Oklahoma,
Minnesota
Baylor.
Just beat
Baylor.
Penn State.
He asked me about Baylor.
I'm asking you. You're the college expert, the self-professed
because
college football expert.
Look at Minnesota's schedule. Besides Penn State, they haven't beat anybody else.
Alabama.
That's why they moved them out and moved Georgia up.
Georgia hasn't beaten anybody.
They've beaten two ranked teams.
You know what?
That's why
this
you
is
need
why you need to
teams,
expand it.
Of course. It's not going to hurt anything. It's not going to ruin LSU, Alabama in the regular season. We're still going to love that game.
You can yell about it all you want to. There are TV contracts, and they can't change until those are up.
Yes, he can.
I'm just telling you, there's no consistency with these guys. I mean, the college thing is such a farce. You know, I'm not going to pay anybody. You can't pay anyone for any of your. I mean, the whole thing. By the way, here's a $20 billion a year contract for a coach. He's going to stay for 6 months and go somewhere else and earn $40 billion.
And I will tell you, you don't want to see LSU-Minnesota because Minnesota's got the feel of that Michigan State team that they're not going to cross the 50.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell me I don't want to see?
You don't want to see Ohio State-Utah. That might be good, actually.
By the way,
let me not invite you into my brain so that you can find out what I really want to see and what I don't want
to
see.
Waddle, by the way, Georgia did not lose to Notre Dame.
Yeah, they beat Notre Dame.
They beat Notre Dame and lost to South Carolina.
Oh, my dad!
He was just yelling, and I know what Waddle was saying. He was just on a rant. It happens.
I'm just, I don't understand why anybody, these college football, purists who think that, oh my gosh, the season's going to be ruined if we went from 4-8. And
there's no consistency either. Okay, if you want to tell me, I'm going to use the eye test. I'm going to use the eye test and I'm going to tell you that LSU's better than Ohio State. Eye test tells me that, and they beat Alabama, but the eye test tells me Ohio State's better than Clemson, two undefeated teams. The eye test tells me Ohio State's better than. Okay, but then you're going to sit back and tell me that there are some other criteria that leaves you that Minnesota.
Can I explain to you what they're thinking about Minnesota? And really simply, they're saying if Minnesota remains undefeated, they will be in the postseason. If they lose a game, they will be out. It doesn't matter where they are today. It means nothing.
Then don't come out with a list.
Okay, fine.
Save your list.
Now we're talking about college football for 9 minutes in Waddle's world when we would not have.
Right. Well, this is why they do
it.
But
the only criteria you should know is if Minnesota remains undefeated,
they'll be in the
playoff. If they lose a game, they're not.
Of course.
That's it.
Well, I understand that. I can still express my dissatisfaction for the crappy manner in which they run this thing. It's silly. Row your boat.
I love what you said. They're rowing their boat as hard as they can. Yeah.
What more do you want them to do? They've rowed their damn boat as far and as well as you possibly can.
I know. I love that. Spirited debate.
Ohio State defensive end Chase Young is set to miss one more game for NCAA violations.
Thought it was a 4-week suspension.
No, he appealed it, and then it's stupid. You should have just let him play this week.
Listen, they've got a big game coming up, and we need Ohio State in a 4-game playoff. So Chase Young's going to be back. He's going to be available. Yeah.
He should be available.
He should be available this week.
He paid to see his girlfriend, to have his girlfriend see him in the Rose Bowl, right? Where was it?
Yeah.
Which bowl
he
game?
Accepted a loan from someone he described as a family friend last year, but repaid it in full.
Repaid it, and he paid used the money to fly his girlfriend to the Rose Bowl. Big deal.
And you guys, this is my point. There is nothing about the NCAA football situation and the NCAA in general that makes any damn sense at all.
18, 16, give me 16.
Yeah, I got to go to the men's room. Eric Reed, former teammate of Colin Kaepernick's, calls Saturday workout disingenuous.
You've been saying that.
Reed also called the Saturday workout session for Kaepernick a PR stunt. I think this is the NFL trying to make themselves feel good. What decision makers are going to be able to attend a workout, the Panthers safety said. Reed has been one of Kaepernick's strongest advocates since they began kneeling during the national anthem of the 2016 season. They want the appearance of giving Colin a chance, but they gave him 2 hours notice and tell him it has to be on a Saturday when they know decision makers are traveling. So is this really for real? I'm just saying, if you're a team that's interested in going there on Saturday, why weren't you interested in calling Cap and talking to him and setting up a private workout?
It's a fair question. Really good question.
Jets CEO voices support for coach Adam Gase.
That's Colts not going to end well.
Colts sticking with Adam Vinatieri as their kicker as well.
I thought Vinatieri was going to hang it up himself.
Colts coach Frank Reich said the 46-year-old is our guy after talking with general manager Chris Ballard. Vinatieri's 14 for 19 on field goal attempts and 14 for 20 on extra points. Listen, he's a Hall of Famer, right? Adam Vinatieri goes into the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
I would think so. It's 11 missed kicks.
That's
total.
11 missed kicks, and you're a team that's already, you know, kind of, you're not 9-1. You're on the cusp. Do you owe it to the rest of your team and not just Adam Vinatieri to find a better option? Is there not a better option?
I would submit to you guys
you'd be a better option?
There is no other kicker in the history of the league that would have had this long a leash. And I say, if he was still on the Patriots, Belichick would have cut him four weeks ago.
For sure. Hey, has Nagy watched the Colts kicking derby?
Did you guys see that Colts game last night?
Anthony Davis is out against the Warriors tonight.
He's been playing, right?
Saints guard Andrus Peat out 6 weeks with a broken arm. I still think the Saints are the best team in the NFC. That's for debate for another time. It's very purely subjective. Let's look and see if I can find something that will lighten the mood here. Man tried to blow up the building after getting kicked out of a strip club. We're in Indianapolis again.
Oh, Brad's Golden Club? Where?
I don't believe so. Manager of an Indianapolis strip club believes a man tried to blow up the building after he was kicked out. 33-year-old Nicholas Miller of Greenfield faces charges of attempted arson and criminal recklessness in the case. Both are felonies. According to court documents, Miller was removed by staff at Dancers Show Club.
Dancers Show Club.
For causing a disturbance just after midnight on November 7th. Manager at Dancers says that Miller was served two beers before arriving, or after arriving, around 11 p.m., then was asked to leave for acting strange by standing over other patrons staring at them.
That's creepy.
An employee said Miller left without...
Well, I'd say Miller...
That's just the Ohio accent. Did I say Miller?
No,
I meant Miller.
I didn't hear
Did
Miller.
I say Miller? I meant Miller.
Do you call heads or tails?
What'd you call? So don't do that. Goodwill evacuated after bear spray was released inside, the officials say.
In Seattle,
a Goodwill store was evacuated Monday after bear spray was released. Seattle Fire Department crews responded around 2 p.m. to reports of a gaseous substance that had been released inside the Goodwill.
What is bear spray?
I think we should hit you with some bear spray.
It's like extreme pepper spray.
You know what it is? Like it stinks, like bad quarterback play and the inability to force takeaways.
Imagine a mini fire extinguisher with mace in it. That's bear spray.
And a big old number 10 on it.
You can donate canned goods for free beer in St. Louis.
That's a good for Bud Light.
Guests can donate up to 12 canned food items to redeem up to 6 cans of beer per visit.
That's a great promotion.
What is it? Schlafly? Schlafly Beer announced its return of a seasonal partnership with the St. Louis Area Food Bank of Cans for Cans. That's great.
Fantastic.
So, give your beer back. All right, I think we have we're going to calm things down with a game of Florida-Ohio when we come back.
I'm sure that's going to be...
That's how we bring it all back down.
I love it.
Yeah.
Florida or Ohio is coming up
next. Not Florida, Ohio, or Minnesota. Just Florida or Ohio.
They're rolling the boat.
Because Minnesota hasn't played anybody.
Minnesota doesn't deserve to be there.
They ain't played nobody.
Roll Tide.
They're rowing the boat as hard as they can.
You know what? Next week, we got Georgia, Southern, Northern.
They're going in a circle. They actually play Mississippi State.
Same thing. Finding reliable contractors for small jobs around the house can be a pain in the arse, all right? There's a new service, though, that has just come to Chicago. They're called Jiffy, and they are the easiest way to book small, quick jobs around the house. And listen, I bet you got a lot of things you got to take care of now that the weather has changed. furnace. You got to make sure your furnace is working right. You got to make sure your gutters are cleaned out. You got to make sure all of that stuff is done. Maybe you don't have anybody to plow the snow in your driveway.
But that's a good call.
You got to do all of that stuff. So and if you need some of that help, I advise you to download the Jiffy app and then go open your Jiffy app. It takes like 30 seconds to book a job, and within 10 minutes, a contractor is going to respond to you and set it all up. Think Uber meets home maintenance. That's the best way to describe it. Stop calling around. Download the Jiffy app and use my code WADDLE for $50 off your first job today. All the work's 100% guaranteed. Each company goes through a thorough vetting process, and they are held to a very high standard as they are rated by other users. Jiffy guarantees you're going to be happy with every single job. If not, they're going to do whatever it takes to make it right. So download the Jiffy app. Use my code WADDLE for $50 off your first job today at JiffyOnDemand.com. Jiffy, fast and reliable home maintenance for less.
All right, Florida or Ohio is next then. An update from the GM's meetings. Hot Sox and Cubs chatter. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Stabbings, or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Florida Ohio is brought to you by the Fields Auto Group. See Fields first for luxury cars, SUVs, and snacks at fieldsautogroup.com. It's a holiday season. I bet they got some good snacks. Gingerbread, maybe?
You tell me.
Pumpkin something?
Pumpkin something. That's what they call it. You don't know what it is. It's not a cookie. It's not a mint. It's not a pastry. It's just called pumpkin. What'd you call it?
Would you try
pumpkin
that?
Pumpkin something.
If no, you had I don't a like snack pumpkin. In front of you I, and it's I, a pumpkin
I,
something?
I don't. I'm not a pumpkin person. I told you what I think pumpkin pie looks like.
Right.
And that, I'll never be able to get over that.
Something like throw up or
diarrhea.
Okay.
You asked.
Anyway, reckless driver told cops he was racing home after cheating on his wife.
Yeah. Say that again.
A man
I had to get home. She was going to catch me.
A man was pulled over on Sunday night for driving recklessly after he told police he needed to get home in a hurry because he was cheating on his wife, according to arrest affidavit.
Did he think that that was going to get him some leniency?
Cops report that
the police?
John Earl Picard, age 52.
Oh, yeah. This is a three names
was
from,
going in excess
Cincinnati.
Of 90 miles an hour in a 55.
He's got the double cab pickup truck.
No. He's got like an old school Firebird or Camaro.
Or an El Camino.
Doesn't say. But Picard reportedly indicated he was his driving was reckless and endangering because he needed to get home in a hurry because he was cheating on his wife. Picard was busted for reckless driving, a misdemeanor. But when cops searched him post-arrest, they found a little baggie of crack in his shirt pocket.
That may change some stuff, though, with Miami.
Yeah.
I think the crack.
What?
He said, police. Did you say you were into crack?
No, I said the crack changes it because of.
Because you're into crack, is
with
what you said.
Miami. No.
He bought it, and so he bought it spontaneously, just purchased it $50.
Can you buy crack on the street in Ohio?
Oh, yeah. You can buy crack anywhere.
Anywhere?
Do we need to take you through
a
drug seminar or something?
No. Have you been to
Dare? Can you buy a crack on the... You can buy crack on the street of anywhere.
Buy drugs anywhere.
I'm going to go with my first instinct.
I would suggest
in Cincinnati.
That you probably will get a better price on meth in Cincinnati than crack.
I'm still
but
going
I don't
with
know.
Your hometown.
Give me another fact of this.
That's it. I've given you all the facts.
Gotta
he was
make
released.
Decision.
And after posting a $2,250 bond, if you know how much
what?
Bonds
Tampa,
have cost.
He was hanging out at the Yucatan liquor stand, and he was trying to get home from Tampa. He's trying to get to Busch Gardens, literally.
Busch Gardens.
Tampa.
Nice use of literally. I'll go with Florida.
John Earl Picard was busted after cheating on his wife and buying some crack in Palm Harbor, Florida.
Oh, man. Yeah, good job, boys. All right, Scott Boras said this about a possible Cubs or White Sox signing.
You better have $500 million.
He said, old St. Nick delivers once a year. Young St. Nick delivers all season. We'll get a report from Jesse Rogers coming up next on Scott Boras Conversation. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.